Our New Testament lesson this morning is from the book of Timothy. We're going to read Timothy chapter 3. This is a letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, and it starts off giving Timothy encouragement. It then goes to instruction, and then in the last part of the last chapter, it's personal request from Paul when at a later time Timothy will join him in things that he wants Timothy to bring to him. So here we are in chapter 3. Hear now the word of our Lord. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with them. They are the kind who worm their ways into homes and gain control over weak-willed women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these men oppose the truth. Men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kind of things happened to me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Jesus Christ will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Wow, a lot there. I know that in my naivety and my living in my own little world, when I was a young guy first reading that scripture, I looked at it very differently than I do today. I thought, man, those people back then were awful. I have a different view when I look at it, when I read that scripture today, and I'm thinking, my goodness, was that on the news last night? Was that what we watch for entertainment on television? What is that what we celebrate in music? Is that what we celebrate in the people we call celebrities and stars? It is tough being a faithful Christian in today's world. It is very tough to give witness in a world that does not want to hear it. Faithful Christians are told to constantly to share the word with others, particularly unbelievers. It's very tough to do in this world today. At work, you're forbidden to do it. And in social gatherings, you're ostracized if you do it. So how did Paul handle that? Well, he was beaten, he was imprisoned, he was stoned and left for dead and believed by many to have been dead. He wasn't even sure himself, as he says in later scriptures. When they stoned him and left him outside the city and his disciples gathered around him, mourning his death, he suddenly got up and walked and went back into the city. Paul walked the walk that he was telling Timothy to walk. Timothy was a young man raised by a God-fearing mother and grandmother and his Jewish father, a Gentile mother and a Jewish father. And Timothy is embarking in this ministry and leading these people, and Paul's instructing him. But Paul's instructions are not just to Timothy. Paul's instructions are wonderful lessons for you and for me. When he says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now that would help us to understand that if we are not equipped with words of scripture in our mouth, if we are not familiar with words of scripture, if we do not spend time in the word, spend time reading God's word in the Bible, that we are not equipped to do God's work. In other illustrations I've given you over the years that we've talked about, that the example of the sower and the seed, and the sower goes out and pours the seed, and it's on good ground it will sprout up and a hundredfold, and on poor ground it will be eaten by the birds, or it will be overcome by the weeds. But they had to have seed in their bag. We cannot share a word that we don't have in our bag. We have to have the word. And it can't be old word that's gotten smelly and distorted from lack of use. It's got to be the fresh word that we read from the scripture on a daily basis, that we spend time with our Lord every day in the word, because the word instructs us. The word teaches us. These are the wonderful words of life, as we just sang in the song. These are the words that we understood. The hymn that we sang, Wonderful Words of Life, is based on the writing in John chapter 6, verse 63. It could also be based on this words of life that are discussed by Paul in Timothy 3. We have to have the words on our tongue. We have to have the words fresh in our mind. We need to spend time with the Lord. If the words are God-breathed, then God will surely explain the word to you through the Holy Spirit and help you to apply it to your life and to the lives of others that you encounter. Other people's lives depend upon this. Their salvation depends upon you being ready to come to their aid. There are people that you will encounter that need to hear from a God-fearing, God-loving, Bible-reading person at that moment, at that time. And we have to be equipped to do that. Our Bible studies should be larger than our church services. Our Bible studies fill a deep and desperate need. If you could have sat up here this morning with me and announced that the Bible study was going to be on hold until school started again, and seen the look on Sue's face, it would have broken your heart. You could see that Sue and Tyler and Gary and David were just like, you could see that this, they understand, but the Word becomes precious. The more time that you spend in the Word, the more precious it becomes. The more time that we spend in communion with Jesus Christ through His Word, the more you will be in communion with Jesus Christ when the world throws the things at you that the world will absolutely throw at you. We've heard this morning of many health problems, concerns that people in this congregation have, the people that we love have, and we all have families and friends and that we worry about and love and care about. And it is the Word of God that will help us get through that. It is the Word of God that will help us lead our families, help us to share the Word with our friends, to give comfort to people that we visit. Sure, many people are talented and good visitors and good company, but it is the Word of God that makes all the difference in the world. Because we don't have the power of healing. God's Word does have the power to heal. God's Word does have the power to change lives. God's Word does have the power to bring everlasting life. And that's something, although our visits with people, our conversations with people are appreciated and they love to talk to us and love to hear from us, we cannot help them have eternal life. We cannot help them reach wholeness. We cannot help them be healed without the power of God's Word, which we have to have with us, which we cannot have from distant memories and memories of things we learned. It's really good for these kids who come to Bible school, but they need to be exposed to the Word. They need to be immersed in the Word throughout their lives. And to, we all learn the Bible stories in Sunday school, but that's not enough. We need to understand what God's Word means to us. I would really encourage any of you who have ever thought about doing it to organize a group Bible study. I have plenty of the workbooks and the leaders' books and those kind of things to help you with if you're interested in doing that. It is a very important ministry that every one of you are equipped to lead. We need to be very, very serious about our faith in Jesus Christ. We are in a world that does not take Jesus Christ seriously. We're in a world that says, okay, I'm glad you're a religious person. At least it doesn't really matter where you go or what it is that you believe, as long as you believe in something. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by them. And who is going to tell the people if it's not you? Who is going to share this with your family member who doesn't believe if it's not you? Who is going to share this with the person next door or down the street or the person that you meet for coffee occasionally? Who is going to share this with the person that you go fishing with or play golf with or go biking with? Who is going to tell them if not you? And you need to have the Word with you. You need to have the Word fresh in your mind and fresh in your tongue. Don't worry about where you find the Word in the Bible. The Holy Spirit will guide you. The Holy Spirit will lead you. Always spend time in prayer before you read God's Word. Always spend time asking the Holy Spirit to guide you through His Word, help giving you the understanding that is uniquely and personally designed for you. Because we don't worship a cloud in the sky. We don't worship a Oz behind a curtain. We don't worship a monument or a mountain. We worship the living God, who knows you by name, who has a personal relationship with you, and who will guide you through all things. It's very, very important that we spend time in His Word, and it's the only way that you'll find the joy. It's the only way that you will find the joy that God has in store for you. And it's a shame that so many Christians go through life believing in God, but missing out on the joy. And joy comes when you share the Word. The joy comes when you see changed lives because you spoke to somebody in the name of Jesus Christ. Joy comes when you see how infectious God's Word is, and how the person that you told about Jesus Christ tells another person about Jesus Christ, and how it grows. All the things that we read about this in the New Testament and the Old Testament scripture is still going on today. The things that Paul wrote about describe our country today. The things that Paul wrote about describe my life today. The things that Paul wrote about describe my needs today, and my weaknesses today, and my challenges today. It's the same true for every one of us. The scripture is everlasting and everlasting. Spend time in it, dwell in it, and have joy reading the Word of God. Amen.